I'm Al Goff.
I'm Miles Miller.
And we are the screenwriters of Shanghai Nights.
And Shanghai Noon.
And Shanghai Noon. And we did both films with Spyglass Entertainment, this lovely logo you see coming up here now, with John Glickman and Roger Birnbaum. And as screenwriters, these movies for us have been, quite honestly, probably our best experience in Hollywood, and probably one of the easiest filmmaking experiences we've ever had, because both scripts were greenlit on their first drafts, and we literally developed them with Roger, John Glickman, the directors of the films, in this case David Dobkin, and Jackie and Owen.
Usually it's a much more prolonged process.
Usually it's a much more prolonged process where you're dealing with studios and a myriad of executives, and in this case it was really, that was the group, and with both films, and we thought after the first film, well, it'll never be like this again, and actually the second film turned out to be that way, and turned out to even be, I think, for us, a better, more rewarding experience.
Easy. I mean, I think the interesting thing for us in the second movie is that we were hired to write the second movie before the first movie came out, and I think the expectations were very high for the first movie, and I think we opened against Mission Impossible 2 in America, and it was, we were pretty crushed.
The film did well, and I think one of the reasons they made the sequel is because it did so well on home video and cable and things like that. So we sort of were able to write the sequel, sort of depressed, but
to write a script, we were very depressed. We had no idea that the movie would get made.
Right, but also you were very much under the radar, so you didn't have people calling you every day. And then the idea with the second film that we wanted to do, the first film took place in the West, and we always sort of envisioned these as road movies. And so it was sort of, what's the next place that we can take these guys? We didn't want to do Shanghai Noon 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold, so we wanted to really get them out of the West and find another location that would be interesting, which we came up with Victorian England.
That actually was sparked off an idea that the original editor of the first movie.
Oh, that's right. Billy Weber.
Billy Weber, who came in and helped edit the first movie. And he was, initially we were very resistant to the idea, and as we got into it, we thought actually it's pretty fabulous, because it allowed them to be both fish out of water.
Right.
Which is something which just gave a whole new energy to the script and to the idea of the movie.
Right. What we wanted to do, sort of in keeping with the first film, was open in China and have some, tragic event happened there, which then propelled the story forward, and also introduce a new character who is Chan Wang's sister,
Chan Lin,
and this is Chan Wang and Chan Lin's father, who's the keeper of the Imperial Seal.
The interesting thing for us is that this actor actually was in our very first movie, Lethal Weapon 4, where he played the bad guy, Uncle Benny. So it was funny to see him pop up in Prague.
Yeah, we had no idea that he'd been cast, and then when we saw him in Prague, it was very funny. Both films tend to start out, I think, on a serious note, sort of before you get into the comedy, so you sort of set the tone and the stakes of the pictures, and know that it's not just going to be total slapstick, that there are some real sort of emotional stakes for, especially I think for Jackie, and then for Roy as well. And this was also a way that we could sort of show off Chan Lin's sort of fighting abilities, to see her go toe-to-toe with the bad guys. I mean, I think, looking back at the first film, one of the things I think we'd wish we'd done more is play more with Lucy Liu's character, given her more to do in that picture, because she's such a wonderful actress. And so I think, the beauty of doing a sequel is sometimes you can learn from the things you wanted to do in the first film. And I think in this case it really benefited, and Fan Wong, who did this, it's her first movie, and she did a really extraordinary job.
Oh, this set is phenomenal.
Yeah.
This is actually the first movie we actually went to the Forbidden City and shot the exterior and the locations there, and this actually is all on the set, and I think the production design is an incredible job.
Incredible.
Let's talk about David for a second. I mean, David for us has been...
He's been the best
we've ever had in terms of a collaboration with a director.
I mean, David is one of the few directors who sort of believe that the script was innocent until proven guilty, and it's usually the other way around. And he, really loved the script, you know, really didn't want to change a lot, but we did.
He was much more protective.
He was much more protective of the script in many ways than we were. There were certain things we were much, you know, we were very willing to give up, and he would fight for. And so that put us in an interesting position sometimes. But it is only out of his, he really had an affection for the script and really had a vision for how he wanted to do the movie and just sort of totally understood it. And I think, you know, the sets and everything sort of really reflect his vision of the film. He had an incredible production staff behind him, and this film really, I think, reflects his vision of the film. And I think it's a good mixture of reality, you know, but there's a hyper-real quality to the movie as well. So it's sort of keeping in the idea of the fairy tale of the first film. I think he really captured that well.
He wants me to send his regards.
But again, here we see Fan Wong, and again, it's setting her up and setting up the stakes, and you see that the bad guy is indeed very bad and killed their father.
Actually, writing this sequence, the actual action reflects it very closely. All the time with Jackie, we always write the action sequences in great detail, and he uses as a jumping-off point often.
Right.
In terms of uses of the props we mentioned, or later on there's the sequence with the revolving door, which he uses basically as scripted.
Right.
And this was as scripted as well, which is always fun to see. And this is the Imperial Seal, which is a fantasy element which we introduced.
It's the MacGuffin of the movie.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as an Imperial Seal, and nor does the Emperor need it to retain his power. But it did give us a MacGuffin in the film.
The seal, you must get it back.
I promise.
Keep this.
This is a piece coming up that we added, which is this puzzle box. We were looking for something, sort of a visual...
A connection between
Jackie and his father. Like some sort of visual connection that they were never going to meet in the movie. And Jackie told us about these Chinese puzzle boxes, which we thought was just a great way, you know, just a great physical connection between them. And I think also helped sort of show his emotional journey through the picture, because you'll see through several points he's trying to open the puzzle box.
So somewhere on this wall is actually one of his pictures for Al Goff.
Yes, there is. You won't see it here. And they actually, again, David, you know, they went back to Calgary where we shot the first film and shot this sequence. So this is the exact same town that we shot the first Shanghai Noon in.
I remember in our first draft of the script we had a much longer sequence in Carson City where Jackie stopped a bank robbery. I mean, we cut it out. Well, she sent up to the producers because it was too long, but
yeah.
It was fun to see him in action.
Oh, he was captured, knocked out, and pitched in while he was polishing Roy's pearl handles. Don't you worry, Roy's about...
The goal of the sequel is sort of interesting when you're writing it, because you want to, you know, reward the people that saw the first film, but also, if people are just coming to this new, you want them to be able to follow it as a standalone movie. So, what we wanted to do was sort of reintroduce Jackie and reintroduce Owen in the movie, because it happens about 6 years after the first film, so where are these people? And they're not together, which I think also gives you a lot of fun of getting them back together. You know, a lot of buddy films, when they come into number two, they're already together, so you sort of lost some of the fun that you had in the first film when they were
together.
Well, getting them together. So here we thought, this is interesting, and they've moved on to different places in their lives, and this here is also to sort of set up that...
Because at the end of the first movie, you see them together, and Roy's a sheriff to catch the James Brothers.
And... You know, you see Lucy Liu there as well, so this is also trying to explain that she's not in the movie. You know, that Princess Pei Pei has, you know, gone off to San Francisco to help the Chinese immigrants.
Hey, maybe it's from her.
No, it's from my sister in China.
And then here we go. This is the
puzzle box.
The puzzle box, the letter about the father's death in the puzzle box. I think, if you find with both movies... is we try to sort of shotgun, I think, as much of the plot information up front, so you really come out of the gate with a running start. And in this case, I remember when we were writing the film, it's like, wow, you go from China to Carson City to New York before you get to...
The first 20 pages, you see me in five locations.
Yeah, you're in five locations, but I think in a way that really added to the energy...
That's a great picture, Jeff.
That is a great picture, I love that. But it does, I think, give the film great energy. And these are things, I mean... Jackie is actually you know, everybody knows about him for the martial arts, but he's actually really an extraordinary actor and can convey so many emotions with looks. And I think both of these films, certainly much more than any of his other American films, I think have really shown his range as an actor. And he really is terrific. And this is Fido, the horse from the first movie who acts like a dog.
And he got cut a lot from the first movie, so we're insistent that he return.
We wanted him in movie two, because he got cut a lot, but then the audiences loved him, you know.
So it's a shame we didn't have him, we always thought, more in the first movie, because he had a lot to do in the first movie.
Yeah.
Which ended up on the floor, but it's fun to see him here. Surrounded by dozens of beautiful women. And this kid was
like... He's fantastic. He's just like a guy that David, an actor David found in Calgary, and I just think he did a really terrific job. And here's Roy, and what we set up also in the first thing are these novels that have been written, these sort of dime store novels, which were very much a convention of the day of, you know, Roy O'Bannon, and what, of course, you find out in these novels written by Sage McAllister is Roy is sort of the hero, and Jackie's treated like the sidekick. But now you see, you know, here's Roy sort of in his element. And again,
a psychic idea is playing on the whole idea that Jackie in American movies is always a sidekick.
Right.
And he needs somebody else to be with him. But it works great that he does have, you know, obviously Chris Tucker in the Rush Hour movies and Owen here in the Shanghai movies. And he teams up great.
Yeah, he really does. I mean, Jackie really, he's one of those rare actors who has chemistry with a lot of people, which is something you don't find very often.
And here's this idea here, fish out of water in New York with Jackie. And it continues on in London, they're both fish out of water. So it's just, we always try and find those elements where they can both feel fish out of water.
Right. And here's you know, Roy in his element with the women.
Yeah. And this is a callback to the first movie, which is, you know, Roy's catchphrase.
Say that again. For the sky, Roy.
John Wayne.
This is a great set, actually, in Prague, which David had this great spa. What was it about?
Yeah, it was about
3 hours out of Prague.
I think it was about 3 hours out of Prague, and they redressed it, and it's really extraordinary. Okay. And then again, here's. Is in what the Wall Street pros call a long-term investment. Again, the idea here that Roy is basically a 20th century guy in a 19th century world. You know, in the first film, you know, he's sort of treated being an outlaw like being a rock star as a way to get, you know, fame and women. You know, with both movies, you want them, they play obviously in a period, but you also want them to have, you know, Roy's attitude especially is sort of a very modern sensibility.
Absolutely.
You know,
there are anachronisms all over the movies.
I'm a little bit mixed up. Let me see if I can get the facts straight.
Our biggest fear,
you have a sister?
I think it was founded actually in the end with Shanghai Noon, where there was the Western, and people don't really relate to Westerns anymore. It's kind of a dead genre. I think it's one of the reasons it didn't do as well at the box office. I think when people got into the movie, they really enjoyed it.
But it was hard to get them into the theater.
Just because it's a stigma against Westerns.
Yeah.
So the advantage here again is that it's not a Western. And
right.
Deliberately set up. The poster campaign has been fantastic in saying it's not a Western.
Yeah. Again, when we were sort of conceiving both movies, you know, because Westerns thus were always got boring because they would get to a town and they'd never leave the town. And what we sort of did in the first film and do here is there's a never look back philosophy. So once you leave a location, you never go back to it. You know, we'll never go back to Carson City. After we leave New York, we don't go back to New York. Even in London, once you've gone someplace, we don't go back to it. So which drove the production managers crazy because when they were boarding the script to shoot it, you know, you try to group all the locations, scenes in the same location together, but you realize, you know, they never go back to any location.
They never return to the set.
They never return to the set. You know, the Chinese set you saw was an amazing set that they built in a back lot in Prague. You know, that scene at the beginning with the snow where she's walking across, that's all on a back lot in Prague. You know, but he built it for essentially one scene, or two or three scenes, but not the majority of the movie.
So I think it gives the movies a real energy.
Energy, yeah.
Keeps the pace up.
Howdy, big boy.
What we wanted to show sort of before we got into the meat of the movie was with your sort of Owen getting Jackie involved in one of his scams again.
There's a woman in there. She wants to meet, just sleep with her.
Oh, she does.
And you see that, you know, that obviously Owen's a rogue.
Right.
Hasn't changed at all.
Right.
It's exactly the same.
Not sleep with women for money.
Why? I'm going to sleep with her for money.
John, just go in there and do your business and think about your sister in England.
What?
Roy!
So before we sat down to write the movie, we had a chance to sit with Jackie and Owen and talk to them about the story we'd planned. And both Jackie and Owen, they liked it, and Owen seemed to have some good ideas. One was the dinosaur novel ideas. After we finished the script, our last draft, we got some more ideas from Owen, which is always great. I mean, he's a great, wacky, crazy ideas, which
they're great. They sort of... They're sort of great...
Off the wall,
sort of left-field ideas.
Which somehow we have to get into the movie, and they...
But when they do, they really... The ones that stick, you know, really do, or do really do work.
Hey, John, come on, let's go!
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Come on! I don't understand. What's going on?
Here's another spot... We sort of added, because we realized, after the course of the picture, that Owen, we never really sort of stated Owen's problem in the movie.
Yeah, you know, Jackie's is very clear.
Jackie's
is
very clear.
His
father said he wants revenge. But we realized we didn't want Owen to feel just like, you know, the side dish nobody ordered. So this part right here, which is basically where he states what his problem is, and that he wants a family. Cause,
yes, I mean, in his own mind he does.
Yes, in his own mind, but... You know, that's at least what he says he wants, and obviously once he meets Jackie's sister, he thinks she's the one. But it, you know, the first film was all about individuality. You know, it was Jackie, you know, being an Imperial Guard, coming to the West and becoming an individual. And the second one is really all about family. You know, Jackie's avenging his father's death and saving his sister. Roy is looking for a family. You know, the villains, you know, one is 10th in line to the throne of the royal family, and he wants to be king, and the other one is the illegitimate brother of the emperor of China, and he wants to be king. So it's all sort of the theme of the whole film is really is family and the different variations on it.
Not these cops, these dirty cops. They take advantage of people.
And this is all funny because Jackie wouldn't fight cops.
Jackie wouldn't fight cops. So we
had to make them dirty cops.
Had to make them dirty cops.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Roy's lying about the dirty cops, but Jackie was insistent that he would not fight cops because he thinks they do a great job. So.
Right.
Which we were happy to oblige.
Why me?
And the sequence coming up, actually, Jackie wrote an online diary for the course of the movie. And this next action sequence, the first really action sequence of the movie, Jackie in the revolving doors, is one that he hated doing, apparently. But it came out fantastically well.
Yeah.
It was a confined space.
You know, when we were sort of sitting, we go, what have we... You know, not only do you want to play sort of the great sort of set pieces, you know, the ideas you could have here in the time period, but what we haven't seen Jackie do before. And we had never seen Jackie in a really, really confined space like a revolving door fighting cops. And then this, again, plays on the Keystone Cops ideas.
The silent movies.
The silent movies. And this is very much like a silent movie thing. I think what you find in this film, and we certainly discovered, you know, as we watched the various cuts of the movie, the action pieces, the set pieces, Jackie's fight scenes, are much longer than they are, certainly in any of the Rush Hour movies, and they're longer than they are in Shanghai Noon, and they do have more of the feel, I think, of dance numbers. I mean, we always say action sequences are dance numbers. Some progress the plot, and some are designed to be showstoppers. And so, you know, you always look for the opportunity, you know, when you're writing for Jackie, is what sort of interesting situations can you put him in? And, you know, this one for us was just a lot of fun.
I think it's good. I'm glad we challenged him, actually, because then he turned out to be a great little sequence. And then Roy's
already out the door. What you find in these films is that, you know, Owen doesn't really fight, and the wonderful thing about Owen is, as an actor, is he's willing to put himself in positions where he will look scared, or he will look vulnerable, or he will say, I can't really fight. And I think that's something that's, you know, most actors always want to be like the tough, cool guy, and Owen is really not afraid to put himself out there, which is why I think he's
so appealing.
So appealing. He really is.
Why do I always believe you?
So I think also this is interesting that it's, always find in contemporary movies, Owen can feel out of place. He's like an actual cowboy.
Yeah.
And so it's just a great...
Because, again, he's a, you know, 20th century guy living in a 19th century world.
But that shot, it's a bit far away. But I mean, the idea was to see, you know, the Statue of Liberty half completed, yeah. And that they're leaving the new world and going to the old world. So it's a fun thing. And then in England, we're going to have, initially one script, the Tower Bridge half completed, to see that the old world and new world again.
Right.
What's that?
Doghouse. This is the great Owen Riff.
Here. Owen Riff here with the doghouse.
Come on. Look, I'm sorry I lied. I just didn't want to disappoint you.
And this is like this is the longest speech that Jackie ever gives in a movie in America.
Jackie said in this film that this is the most dialogue he's ever had to speak. He was like, he had to work twice as hard than even the Shanghai Noon because he had so much dialogue, but he, you know.
Because the first 40 minutes of Shanghai Noon, Jackie's by himself when he's talking to anybody.
Right.
And here he's, and Chris Tucker does mostly talking in Rush Hour, so here we wanted to give him some more lines.
Right.
Because we've worked with other Asian actors, particularly Sammo Hung, and the trick there is to give them very short sentences and not much dialogue. Give them the important lines.
Right.
But here we wanted to even it out so that Owen wasn't talking the whole time.
Right. And also, again, you sort of really... You know, before you sort of got to London, and I think the picture sort of took off, you really sort of, I think, really set the table and get where Jackie is emotionally and how he feels. This is like sort of the quiet moment before you're about to really launch into the...
So I think, exactly. So by the time you get to England, I think you understand exactly where they both are
right.
emotionally and that they're beginning to bond again.
This message you say.
What's it say?
It's a parcel box. I don't know how to open yet.
You don't know how to open it. Get a hammer and smash it open so you can see what it is.
Also, here, this was to explain the puzzle box, and that this would sort of be the sort of physical manifestation of Jackie's emotional journey in the movie. But also undercutting some of the stuff so it didn't feel too melodramatic with Owen's humor.
You know what? We're going to go to England. We're going to find your dad.
Owen is so, like... Sincere, and then he undercuts it with his...
with the line at the end.
Loyalty, honor. Okay?
Thank you, right.
And this is almost all the back lot, wasn't it, Al?
Yeah, this was literally shot on the back lot. Because I remarked to David, I go, God, the CG clouds and everything are so great. He goes, no, that was the day. They literally shot that on the back lot in Prague. The only green screen shot was the first shot where you see Roy walk out in the water behind them.
Now, this is a very controversial scene because a lot of people wanted to cut it out of the movie. David was very strong in the belief that we should keep it in. I actually was also on his side because I thought that it was a great introduction to the bad guy. Without this scene, you wouldn't really know the stature of Rathbone. And one of the ideas for Rathbone is the first movie, the chief villain was a bounty hunter by the name of Van Cleef. That was named after Lee Van Cleef, the famous Western actor. And this guy's named after Basil Rathbone. I mean, when Al and I sat down and researched this movie, we watched, I think, every Sherlock Holmes movie. We watched, what else did we watch?
Hammer films,
we watched. Bernard Steps, we watched.
Yeah, tried to like acquaint ourselves with all the films that had been in this period. Yeah,
Abbott and Costello, Frankenstein,
yeah.
Beat the Mummy.
Yeah.
Just to give it a sense of... flavor.
Right.
Obviously, the movies are very self-referential in terms of other movies, and that's kind of the fun of it.
Given to Her Majesty Queen Victoria by the Emperor in recognition of her 50 glorious years on the throne.
And this was originally meant to be a panda in the... they couldn't find a panda in Prague.
They couldn't. I think the tiger David felt, which is
sort of more
aggressive, more menacing. And then here, what was very funny was when we did this, Miles, if you can't tell right now, is English, and when they first did, they wanted the boat to pull up to London, and we had to explain to them that when the boats don't pull up to London, you take a train into London.
Right.
And this, I believe, this is a shot in London. Yeah.
They had like 5 days.
Five days in London. I think they did a really good job of mixing, you know, Prague, the Prague locations, and the you know, the days they spend in London.
I think for me, as an English person, it was very difficult to... I was skeptical about writing it, or felt some sort of trepidation to writing the movie, because I didn't want to do the old cliches about Britain, but, I mean, they're kind of irresistible.
Roy's like the ugly American. You know, he's the tourist who goes to England, and, you know, in this case, he's saying, you know, they lost the American Revolution, they're driving on the wrong side of the road, and, you know, so we try to work in sort of the, I think, the obvious English.
And we try to find things that were actually around
right.
in the period. So we have Madame Tussauds and icons like Big Ben.
Right.
Like if you were to visit Garden.
Yeah. Like if you go around. Yeah. If you go to England today, these things are still there. So, and Madame Tussauds are just open.
It's just open the year before. So we were also very keen to get Harrods in there, but we couldn't find a.
That's right.
Situation. They were going to break into Harrods and get. Remember that?
That's right. I think they were going to break into Harrods and get disguises or
That's
something
right.
at one point. And there was something else in the original script that. It was like the one action sequence too many where they had a big fight in the Tower of London. But we needed a breather.
Such a special connection with children. Little ankle biter. Hey, watch it, you little punk.
Oh, my guest.
This kid is fantastic and I mean, great casting. David scoured London and England for this kid. He's right in the level of sweetness and mischievousness, isn't he? He's not like the little
Hollywood
brat.
Yeah. And he did a really good job because again when you do a sequel you're always trying to expand the world of the characters, which is why I introduced the sister and introduced this character, which also I think again gave us another side. This kid,
it's a great foil for Roy.
It's interesting. We actually put the kid in because of Jackie. You know, Jackie
right.
really has a real connection with kids, and the idea that Jackie Chan, this kid turns out to be Charlie Chaplin. That Jackie Chan shows Charlie Chaplin how to be a silent movie star. But what we found when we were doing the movie is that he had a, you know, he and Roy actually, I think, had the stronger sort of chemistry. So here, once you round the corner,
we're in Prague.
Now we're in Prague. This is all Prague. And this is sort of the Covent Garden chase, which is the
first big set piece of the movie.
Yeah.
In the first movie, the first big set piece is really the Indian fight.
Right.
They wanted something of similar scope, which would just be a long sequence. And what David and Jackie did with it was extraordinary.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time we saw it was like, you know, blown away by particularly the dance number, which is going to come up in a second, the umbrella scene.
Leave the boy alone. Bloody tourists. Get your noses out of it.
But it's also, again, like, you know, Jackie and Owen come into a place and they sort of, you know, rip it apart.
Yeah, and it's easily fall into trouble, it's yeah. rip it apart. And this obviously is a rip on the Dickens and Oliver Twist,
yes.
and all those things as well. And here he goes.
But I think for us, which was fun, certainly when writing these sequences, was the fun if you really hadn't seen Kung Fu in Victorian England.
Right.
So for us, it was like we had a total blank page to play with.
And also what's good about this, we had Owen with an action chasing the kid while Jackie could fight, so at least Owen was active doing something else,
right?
Yeah,
which is always intriguing. It's sort of finding things for Owen to do while Jackie is doing the fights, you know, so Owen doesn't look like he's being completely inactive in the film, but he's not, you know, throwing punches and being a kung fu star, which Owen isn't interested in doing. Yeah. He just runs away. And it was also sort of good in this movie is I think there are certain spots like that where Jackie actually shows his age. Like, he does different things to be clever.
But I think also this is actually the most Hong Kong-like of all Jackie's movies.
Yeah.
This sequence in particular. It's length and it's just comic timing and it's really a tour de force for Jackie. Just it's so lengthy. I mean,
yeah.
You know. There's so many different sequences
within the piece.
Yeah.
Jackie just went to town.
And this kid is, I think, is a real find by David.
Yeah. And here comes another classic English with the bad teeth. Yes, it's a cheap joke, but it always works.
Now this is the David loved this sequence with him on the wool sack.
No, it was funny. What's interesting is the sequence you see, I think, quite honestly, was almost another third more to this thing. I mean, which I'm hoping that you'll find in this DVD are these sort of extended fight sequences.
Into the coffin. But, I mean, Owen actually has great chemistry with this kid, and it really, really pays off. I wish you'd actually done more with the kid, but the problem is it's so much crammed into the movie already with the, you know, with Rathbun and his sister and Artie Doyle, who comes in a minute. It's just too many characters.
Right. But so here is where you see the kid sort of in awe of Jackie's kung fu ability.
I mean, it's amazing the sequence is still going on. And this is where it really, I think the test audience saw it the first time, just applauded this sequence. This is where Jackie. It's like a recurring theme in the script in the movie. Jackie getting his coat stolen, and getting it back on.
And here's the button right here.
You see that? He's okay. Okay. I call that one my Kung Pao chicken. I clothesline.
So here we meet Artie Doyle, who's a police inspector. And actually, it was Arthur Conan Doyle was a doctor by profession, and his first published Sherlock Holmes story was in 1887.
It was a great casting. I mean, when we wrote it, we initially thought like a Rowan Atkinson kind of guy, or the guy from Notting Hill. But this fine, this actor David Fowler for the role, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah, and what we tried to do here was, you know, he's a police inspector who doesn't, you ultimately find out, doesn't like being a police inspector and wants to be a writer, but he uses deductive reasoning, and this is so here he uses deductive reasoning on Roy's watch to sort of tell us about Roy. And Jackie's reactions in the scene are great.
I can deduce intimate details about an individual through a close... I think, you know, of course, the idea pays off at the end in terms of finding out where the seal is.
Right.
That Artie, you know, Roy and Jackie help Artie, you know, find his true calling, which is right, as a writer.
Right. You know, Owen gives him... Again, it's playing on the idea, like the first film, you know, he thinks his name is John Wayne, it's Chan Wang, and here it's, you know, it's playing on that idea, again, where Roy is going to give use the name Sherlock Holmes, which he'll eventually give to Artie because he thinks it's a terrible name for a detective. But this is great. I love Roy's Roy. Roy's such a fun character because he's so elastic. He can be the smartest guy in the room, the dumbest guy in the room, the vainest guy in the room.
Or all three
at the same time. And here is, of course, what you find out is he goes from being really annoyed to when he finds out Artie's a fan of his books, he like totally turns on a dime.
I want you to meet the Shanghai kid.
Oh, yes. The faithful Chinese psychic.
I'm not a psychic. Those stories are all lies.
Hey, come on, don't be bitter.
I wanted to play on that. And then Roy's obsessed with celebrity, and that was the first movie was his attempt to be a celebrity as an outlaw. Now he's trying to be a celebrity author.
Right.
So here it's playing all those things.
Right.
Yeah. I think you'd better come with me.
And then now we find out what happened to his sister.
And this is, you know, this is the oldest trick in the book, but it works. I mean, I was trying to think of something else to do, but you know.
I actually think it worked because actually David was smart in revealing her on the ceiling.
Right.
So you sort of like, and that's actually a wood foot. That is actually a wood peg leg, like when it throws up. And then here's the, you know.
Love at first sight.
The love at first sight, and this is what's going to complicate the relationship with Jackie and Owen.
If you don't mind, I'll just wait outside. Introduce me.
Oh, this is Owen, my baby sister.
Well, where's the baby?
Roy, help me. Pleasure. You never told me your sister was such a...
Because she's astonishingly beautiful.
Yeah, she really is.
And that, interestingly, actually, in the last half of the script, also, we added her more into the story. She actually remained in prison in the first draft for most of the movie.
For most of the movie, and then she comes in towards the end when Rathbone said he's going to use her
to take out the Tower of London action sequence. She escaped and she joined them at the Rathbone's castle, which actually turned out to be a great idea.
Yeah.
Big help to the movie, I think, because of her energy and the tension between the three of them, the triangle.
Right. And you just really were able to, yeah, exactly, have a lot more fun and really open up the story.
Look, the detective's a fan. Why don't I play the celebrity card and we'll get her out that way. Okay? Come on.
This is like an incredible set, which is like...
Right. No, because when you came into this, when you looked down the hall and you saw the set, that was it. I mean, I think that was amazing about the production designer is not only what he built, what he didn't build, you know, and just what he could really cheat.
Just ignore the naked ladies.
Wait. Have you opened Father's box?
Not yet.
So that always, for us, it always is to reintroduce the Father's box throughout the movie and
keep that element alive.
Tried to assassinate Lord Rathbone whilst he was taking after.
And then this is sort of when they find out what they're really up against. You know, that not only, you know, the villain that killed the father is a member of the royal family, which makes him untouchable.
Because, I mean, the real art of these movies is that the plot is really irrelevant.
Right.
It has to lay in there and bring about these two guys and their relationship.
Yep. And you sort of have to, you know, you use the plot to sort of advance, to keep them moving forward in the story, but you don't want the plot to overwhelm the story. And what usually happens is we write the first draft and then we spend the subsequent drafts really trying to thin out the plot, and so we can use as little as possible, which gives them more screen time.
I mean, the challenge in coming up with the story is that we need to have Chinese bad guys that Jackie can fight. So it has to have a Chinese element to it.
Which you'll meet right here.
Yeah, right. And this is I mean, it came out of the idea that this is a movie about families. Well, so this is on location in London, it's great. And then the car is also an anachronism. It's not quite... There are no cars at this moment.
Well, the Benz was built, the first one was built in 1886.
Right.
And, but I don't think it would have been, certainly not this elaborate, and, you know, but obviously...
So we're in the ballpark.
Yeah. We're fudging by probably, you know, 5 or 10 years, really, on either side.
And then the dagger actually was David's idea.
Yes.
It was something that linked the death of the Wang's father to the...
To Wu Yip, or Wu Chao, they call him now, because
right.
He couldn't...
Right.
And this is Dunyan, who's, of course, an incredible... Kung Fu master, Asian martial arts star, who... But he had an extraordinary fight with Jackie at the end. I mean, it's really, really good.
And this is the scene that we pitched, in our very first pitch for the movie... And it was sold it to the producers in terms of the...
on this. Now, what's interesting is that wide shot that you saw, the Buckingham Palace, is like CG. It's like a picture.
Right.
And they walk up, and then this is all shot in Prague. But this is literally, I think, the thing we pitched Jackie and Owen.
Right. We always knew this would be a trailer moment, and sure enough, it was.
Sure enough, it was. You know. And again, it's trying to play on the you
tourist,
know,
like,
the travel log, yeah. Tourist elements. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so we have this, and we have the Stonehenge later on. And
she's mooning us. He almost went for that.
The other thing that David did, which is interesting, was the contemporary music. British.
Yeah, you sort of rock the
rock tunes of the movie.
Yeah.
Which gives it one thing, it helps make it feel contemporary.
One hell of a damn poker player.
Huh?
grand little punk.
I think it was great here. Owen is so mean to this kid.
They get the biggest love in the movie, one of them.
I'm talking about a knockoff. My uncle stole this watch from President Lincoln. It's a priceless family heirloom.
Again, Jackie, it's terrific reaction shot.
It's not steal.
If I don't steal, I don't need. By the way, let's show Jackie all that kicking and punching.
My father. Yeah, have you ever heard of those? They're parents. We have parents that love us. You don't, because you're a little orphan. And go on, you're making us look bad. You're cramping our style.
And then, of course, you're playing on the joke that it always
always rains in London.
Always rains in London,
which it does. This is a fun beat.
Yeah.
Come on in and
it's Jackie and Owen, a country gentleman in the London apartment. And Owen lapping it up. Using the boy as his little servant.
You just said a lot of chocolate.
Of course I did. You gotta look out for number one, kid. I could really get used to this.
And then you hear him sort of, you know, you get into the tension here between Jackie and Owen about Lynn.
Chuck and Dave.
Lynn.
Lynn's the most beautiful woman I've ever met. She's going to be the savior of the House of O'Bannon.
And this is another idea, that the House of O'Bannon, that Owen's looking to, finding the idea of an English country gentleman, the idea of the House of O'Bannon.
Sitting here drinking expensive hooch. Boy, refill. I've been working on a plan.
Now, that's the mini arc with the kid and that Owen starts out looking out for number one and the kid at the end.
And in the end, he saves the kid and the kid then saves them.
Bartenders make big bucks.
Roy!
The plan. Thank you, John. Now, I figure...
This is sort of a callback from the first film where Owen drew, like, you know, crazy, you know, like... looks like five-year-olds drew it.
I also have a version where we dig a tunnel. Hey!
Bloody catapult. Jesus Christ. You don't need a catapult.
Who asked you? You don't interrupt grown-ups when they're talking.
Lord Nelson.
This is like, we didn't have no idea how we're going to get that, so we just put the invitation not on the mantelpiece. So it's a little convenient, but it gets them there fast. Because there's no like shootout in this movie, just like, just get there.
This is a scene like we always like, it's a... The idea that Owen, like, who actually brings up totally legitimate points about how they can't do this, and then once the idea of wearing a disguise completely changes his mind. And then here, this is a castle they again and Prague, which actually looks English. It doesn't look.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know.
And here they are, the disguises.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when they get inside, you see that everybody else is in tuxedos and nice dresses, and I know the costume designer had a really good sort of idea, which was they are totally the fish out of water. They come in as sort of like, you know, peacocks in a sea of penguins, I think is how she described it, which I thought was really good.
And there's actually this head bombing was a genius move. I think at one point it was kind of the movie, but Roger Birnbaum fought for it to be in, and it turned to be a huge laugh.
Gets a huge laugh.
And this is, you know, in the movie you need the good guys to be the bad guys. So it's a nice face-to-face with Jackie and Rathbone scene. Which is good. I mean, you know, for us, we've done, you know, several buddy movies, so we know the conventions, and I think if you can get them in there seamlessly, then all the better.
Yeah.
Why are you so mean to that boy?
I see a lot of myself in that kid. It's kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, sort of the mode of... I love that reaction, actually. It's good. But the capture-escape element as well.
The jacket, always, exactly. Yeah. Capture-escape.
So I can announce...
And this is, again, playing more the fish out of water, and here comes the... where he gets named Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock. Holmes. Sherlock Holmes.
And which province do you represent, Your Highness? Nevada.
There's a great reaction from the guy as well.
Yeah.
It's classic.
Yeah.
And that's the astonishing thing. It really does look like England.
Yeah.
May I present Major General Sherlock Holmes and His Highness the Maharaja of Nevada.
And see, there they are all in tuxes and sort of white dresses, and there's Artie.
He realized actually how short Eddie Gilly is. I think he actually affected that guy in the end. Or is it less is more?
I think I speak for all of us at Scotland Yard when I say that no matter how far you are from the throne, you'll always be number one in our hearts.
There's the idea that Artie always puts his foot in his mouth. He never quite says the right thing. And here we go into the famous, English food is awful, so...
And also has funny names.
Funny names, you know? Yeah. So we wanted to find a place we could do...
Spotted dick.
I mean, it's a very obvious joke, but...
Can you believe this guy? I'm trying to get...
This is where I feel bad and I betrayed my nation. Every cliche. Oh, but I think it's turned more on its head, so it's not so offensive.
I think I'll pass, not really a dessert man. Perhaps my friend might like some spotted dick. I might try one of these sausages, though. This Smoky Joe. This is good. I thought the food here was supposed to suck.
The haggis is fresh from Scotland, sir. It's made from the finest sheep's bladders.
There's the idea that Chinese people like hard food.
Exactly. English food to them is downright, like extravagant.
Dr. Jack eating the pig trotter. But here's the meat with the rathbone, with the knife in his hand, and, you know.
Yeah. And again, it's always trying to, within the comedy, is keeping the sort of seriousness of the stakes.
Acquainted with the Nevada province.
Well, Jackie's, bent on revenge, and his father's honor's at stake, and
right.
This is the man who killed him. From China.
You are well informed, Maharaja. It is my dream that the Chinese people will follow India's example and one day embrace British rule.
Chinese are very proud. They place family and honor above all else.
Well, I'm sure we can break them of that.
So it's a good setup with the bad guy, and...
And then you always get back to Jackie's sort of, emotional quest. Because, you don't want him to be somber throughout the whole movie, right. My father said. You want him to have fun with Roy, but then you want those moments where you remember why
he's doing
what he's doing.
You have some fun to get back on the plot.
Yeah.
Now, before this, we had a sequence in the hallway where they were...
Yeah, they were in armor.
Which you see in the trailer, actually, when you got kind of the movie for time. And it was a fun little sequence, but... You can see in the hallway behind them, the armor, the suits of armor which they're in. And this is a obviously famous, convention of these movies. It's the room with many chambers and secret doors and passageways and.
Okay, now there are no windows. We just came in through the only doorway. At least one explanation. Remember in Royal Bantam vs. the Mummy how the zombie king got away when I chased him into the Pharaoh's tomb? There's a secret passageway behind the Sphinx. Now there's got to be a lever or a button.
So they're right after it. Right. And, I think this is to be one of my favorite sequences of the movie with the moving eyes and the fireplace and all the conventions here.
Roy, the painting!
It's looking at me.
Look!
Oh, yeah, it looks like it's looking at me, too. That's great. That's
no, funny. Real eyes. Moving.
Oh, God, that kid got to you, didn't he? Unbelievable. We're not in a haunted house. That's a technique that an artist used. Ubiquitous.
And this is actually a riff from Owen here. We can, again, sound like a complete...
Is a complete... Actually, the production designer told him that.
Oh, really?
He goes, oh, that's funny, though.
Those eyes. Look!
And the nice thing about this movie, I think that Owen and Jack had a real comfort.
Yes.
Having worked on the first movie together. And so they can see that chemistry, that ease of working together. And each is so different. I mean, Owen's about verbiage and Jack is about action.
Yeah.
So it's just such a great combo. We love the idea of Owen studying the Kama Sutra. But this actually was came from the idea of Lord Carnarvon, who worked with Howard Carter, was a sort of in uncovering the tomb of Tutankhamun in Egypt. The idea that he actually stole some of the treasures of Tutankhamun for himself, was only discovered way after he died. So, like the idea that Rathbun had basically gone around the world plundering and stashing the stuff in the secret passageways. That the nation loved him and thought he was a hero, but actually he was secretly you know, stealing from under their noses.
Shouting at me, John! John? 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 This is ridiculous. John, if you want to act like a child and play little games, then find someone else, okay? Because I take this stuff seriously.
This is the point Jackie brought up, is when he would go around, he had to make sure that his mouth was covered.
Right.
So, because otherwise he'd shout out, so.
Okay, John. Okay, you little Chinese otter.
This is a great line. His own reactions are so good.
Yeah.
He just, like, has such a great face.
Ah! Ah! Giant demon! Ah! 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 Ah!
And then, there she is.
This is like, Owens and...
Owens in love.
Just gonna bite my back.
And this is where we reintroduce Lynn. This is something that came up in subsequent drafts. Lynn said in the first draft she was out the whole, in prison the whole time. And then explained later how she got out, which was fun.
And this, for obviously, for Roy is like a, you know, paradise as well.
And of course, is how much fun can you have in the library? And we, you know, put in the ladders and the books and the things like that. And then Jackie just went to town. This was great. I always love this where it gets to the small book.
And this is much longer at one point as well. It's a great thing with this big globe Jackie used to swing on. But here's Jackie actually fighting non-Chinese, which is interesting.
Yeah. I think initially when these ladders were designed, they were made out of something very heavy. And they had to go back and very quickly and make balsa wood. I think the props department was on call 24/7 to really make sure that Jackie had all the props that he needed. This is
there's something different about this.
So Owen is just, you know, right on the edge, and then to something else that, you know, we had a big fight in here, and what Jackie did was realize that this stuff's priceless, and they would want to protect it. So then he started using that against them, which is really funny.
I mean, I think this is the inventive action of Jackie in an American movie, actually.
Yeah.
I think that's because David allowed him to do
his thing.
He gave him the time. I think often,
right.
I know the Rush Hour movies, and the first Shanghai Noon movie, he was rushed. I think David really...
David, like, worked the schedule to give him, like, extra days to do what he... to do everything and get all the pieces that Jackie needed. You know, which a lot of times, you know, in his other films... I know Chang'an Yin, they had to go back and reshoot.
Right.
Because, you know, they don't... Jackie would tell them, I need this much time, and, you know, they wouldn't believe him. And then ultimately they'd go back and reshoot things.
So that's one of the reasons why the action sequence is so rewarding in this movie, that Jackie had the time to do it.
And then again, this is another sort of, you know, convention, the secret... Again, more secret passageways. This one takes you out to the stable.
Boy, when are we going to come back?
Again, Roy always, you know, trying to make a buck.
Must you keep doing that?
I was taught not to be seen or heard. The seal.
I am a man of my word.
I remember watching my brother.
And these are always the toughest scenes to write, because it's the two bad guys talking together, and they have to explain the plot to the audience, but they already know the plot, so it's always very tricky to write.
Yeah.
And have any interest or momentum. You into the man you are today.
Which how?
He's the Emperor's bastard brother.
He was banished from the Forbidden City for trying to steal the Imperial seal.
Our father caught him. He vowed to return to claim the Emperor's throne.
This guy?
You have nothing to worry about. It's all in place.
Diamond is
and then again, always playing Roy's, you know, fascination with riches.
So for now, our business is completed.
And then, and obviously, they realize that this is seriously even more impetuous than Jackie.
And then she's, you know, gonna get the seal back.
And they're always after it.
Right. And then there's the kid.
And this is how she gets in there.
Just looking out for number one.
See, so we bring that up to now. The seal's missing, and they're in stuck in a barn that's on fire.
And originally, in the original draft, the kid did not feel it.
Right.
He went. Rapid got the seal and then took it to the Tower of London. And then it involved Jackie and Owen
breaking into Tower of London to get the seal.
And then the kids stole it at the Tower of London.
London, yeah, literally, exactly. And then we realized that it was sort of a repeat of things
existing,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also we wanted to sort of, after the sequences, give the film a little breathing room, because we've just had so many things just happen one on top of the other.
So we had, yeah, so we actually wanted, this actually came out of an idea that Owen had, this next sequence coming up.
Oh, when we get to Whitechapel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. So.
Yeah. And this is...
But here we separate them again.
Right. Like when Lynn gets out and then...
Come on! What in our history together makes you think I'm capable of something like that?
And then, you know, playing the idea that Roy is not a kung fu master.
It's a better way.
And then this is, you know, they use the car to bust out.
It's this idea of fun, like, you know, the first car chase. from the first cars. And this is something actually we hadn't planned to do this next bit, but it's one of those things that happens when you begin writing a script, this ideas just come to you, and we're trying to find a way actually to get a dream sequence into the movie. We couldn't figure it out where we were going to put it, and it actually turned out
to be the right place.
Move sound from
here. Yes. These are the men who attacked me.
Now, the reason he's wet in this scene is because originally you saw the car go over as it's leaving the castle, going over the moat, and Artie goes diving into the water.
He's taking a pee,
and he goes diving into the water.
But you never notice.
But you know, you don't really.
I think you assume it's raining.
Right. And then here he explains how Lynn got out.
Using a deck of rather risque playing cards, then scaled the walls with a mop, a fork, and various pilfered undergarments.
Which is playing on the idea that Jackie can use anything to either help him as a weapon or to escape. And his sister does the same thing.
As you see, Artie is an unhappy cop. And here we are in our little dream sequence, which is a riff on the whole Kama Sutra. And this is Roy's paradise.
Let's just see how many beautiful women there are in the Czech Republic.
Lynn. I know these women.
No, it's just trying to find the same things. Trying to one up the first movie. There's a little dream sequence in the first movie where he's wakes up and finds out he's actually been eaten by
vultures. So he's buried in the desert.
Something actually we learned doing the Lethal Weapon movies. There was what the things that you need to repeat in the second movie or in sequels. So here we want to repeat the idea of the dream sequence and.
You okay?
We want to find the pillow fight. Yeah. This is actually a riff kind of on the
bathtub
scene in the first movie.
Right. And then also the ending, you know, the first movie ended with the fight in the bell tower.
Oh, right.
And this one was like, you know, what's bigger than that? And then there's a fight in Big Ben.
And there's Stonehenge.
And then you're Stonehenge, so.
Which is just once again, the travel log idea.
Can I tell you something?
What?
This is a hell of a damn adventure we're on, and I'm having an absolute ball with you.
That was difficult. We weren't sure about that line, but yeah. It actually works great.
It does.
Because you see they're having fun, which is, like, you know...
Important.
They're having fun, then the audience is having fun.
Right.
Here we go.
Even though it's a revenge plot, so Jack's
right. Right.
But
right.
It actually works great.
And of course...
Who is it, Bob?
Who is it, but Lynn... And then this is where, you know, you get a little breathing room from the plot in the movie, and also where you get to play up the Roy Lynn romance and
Jackie's unhappiness
with it.
How do you know your way around? It's incredible.
I always had a good sense of action.
Ah, you can say that again. Wish we could say same about you know who.
And this is what, you know, Lynn and Roy ganging up against Jackie, which is fun.
He was lost for 3 days. Oh, God.
So this whole sequence, something we added after we took out the Tower of London sequence, it actually works great.
Hey, can I tell you something without you getting offended?
I can't imagine without it now, can you?
No, I can't.
It's weird.
It's just, you know, because you really want to... You know, in order to sort of buy this relationship between Roy and Lynn, you needed to have some screen time. They needed to have some screen time together and to have an obvious connection. And then here's Jackie getting in the middle. So it's just, you know, it's a classic sort of, you know, road movie situations where, you know, the guy likes the girl and... And then we also got to play on Whitechapel, which is the one thing we hadn't been able to work into the first draft of the
script. Right, which is the idea that... Jack the Ripper. I mean, yeah. Initially, like, I mean...
Yeah, everybody wanted to, like, come to London, like, to like, fight Jack the Ripper, and we said, guys, serial killers aren't funny, so, you know, we can't really do that, so we sort of made him a little bit of a footnote in here, so we at least deal with him.
Yeah, in a funny way. That
right. And then this is sort of a callback to the... We were looking for this. We were looking for, like, what's the callback to sort of the bordello.
And you can get back to, you know, Roy's roots, because Roy loves...
Right.
Rough ladies
and cheap women, and we were having the dinner with Owen, and you know, he was talking about some, like, ideas, you know, just this sort of random thoughts, and he goes, God, I'd love to have a pillow fight with hookers. And we're like, where the hell are we going to do that in this movie? And then once we sort of removed that sequence and put this in, we realized this was sort of a perfect spot for it, and then it was just about finding the right context for it.
Because we were looking for this idea for what we do that was like the bathtub scene in the first movie, and then when Owen said pillow fight, I was like, that's it. It's totally insane, totally crazy.
And out of left field. I don't think you're, like, going through this movie and going, like, yeah, I know where they're going. It's going to be the pillow fight. And also it just sort of reverses the first film where, you know, Owen had been talking shit about Jackie. And then this one is Jackie, you know, discouraging Lynn from dating Owen. And
right,
Owen
just exactly
overhearing
it. Yeah. In the first movie,
yeah.
You know, Jackie overhears Owen talking to a prostitute at a bordello.
And saying he's not really his friend. Owen sort of, you know, Pink Panther-like moves.
Right. And this is like Owen's nightmare now. It's like having to turn down a
prostitute. That's Roy.
Hello, love. Fancy a tumble?
Oh.
Where were you 2 days ago? I would have bedded you in a second. Now you're looking at a changed man. I'm sort of saving myself for someone's.
I think, you know, for us, we're always looking for the soul of the movie, and I think this, the argument that erupts shortly after this, and the betrayal that Owen feels, I think it should generally feel bad for Owen.
Yeah.
Better go before we lose control. Go.
So that's the ups and downs of the relationship. I mean, also, that said, Owen is not suitable for this.
For Lynn.
For Lynn.
So I think you understand, you know, where Jackie's coming from, too. So you want to make sure you sort of protect both characters,
right,
when you do it.
Courageous. And a good father.
Like Roy.
We got her. Not like Roy. You don't know him like I do. He has many bad habits.
Such as?
He drinks, smokes, and he gambles. He sleeps with women for money.
Rodin's
and then the jiggler thing comes up and
right.
The whole thing,
like
bite him in the bum.
Right.
He has a good heart.
His salmon don't swim upstream. He shoots blanks. Lynn, he cannot be trusted.
How could you say that? You're his friend.
Yeah, sort of. Roy is the
type. I think this is actually, I mean, the whole idea of the shooting blanks, I mean, it just turned out to be a great,
a great sort of running gag.
Not Roy O'Bannon, Roy O'Baloney.
No, that's a line that...
That's a groaner line that Jackie and Owen came up with.
I think they would sing out of the movie, but it's in there. Roy Baloney. I think, I mean, audiences liked it, so
yeah.
Interesting.
Roy,
the scene is, like, tonally the strangest scene in the movie. It was like, I think Jackie said, David said that sort of... You know, they, Jackie and Owen sort of let this one get away from them. And I remember when we saw it, we always said, this is such an odd scene. Unfortunately, we couldn't cut it out, and we tried cutting it down, and then, of course, we showed it with a test audience, and I guess one of the biggest laughs in the movie.
I mean, this is the one scene we wanted to cut out of the movie. I mean, I still find it just very odd and bizarre.
But
for me, it should be a really emotional scene where the two characters have a heart-to-heart, and Owen says that he really is. I mean, the pedophile stuff, I just don't get it, but...
Yeah, this was sort of, you know...
I like the moment where Owen throws the bottles back at
Jackie,
which is cool, but
yeah.
The Fedabawa stuff is just like, that one, this stuff.
Yeah.
I think you're so cool, karate, and your childlike reflexes.
It's just...
Roy, are you okay?
This is where it version of slapstick for me.
Look at you. Do you really call me Roy Baloney?
I think Jackie brings it back with this look. It's like
yeah.
Here, it's like...
Yeah.
Puzzle box. I'll never figure out my message.
Roy.
Go. You're dead to me. I don't know a John Wayne.
This is where, obviously, Jackie has the inspiration to give Roy his wish. What he thinks is his wish.
Who loves you, baby?
Nice try, John.
Roy, I'm sorry.
And this is the infamous pillow fight.
Do that again and you're a dead man.
Pillow fight!
And this is a great... The song is a great choice by David here, I think.
Yeah, really was.
He just is having a great time together.
Yeah. I think originally when David was going to do this, he was going to do split screens and things like that, but ultimately I think this worked the best.
And they had this guy,
right.
I just like... So they're talking about doing a third movie, so we'll see. I don't know what we're going to do next now.
No.
This kind of, how do we up the
bathtub
scene and then
the pillow fight?
What's next? I don't know.
I don't know.
Have another dinner with Owen and find out. It obviously just complicates things with Lynn when she comes in.
Right.
Once again, the set deck here is great. I'd rather be naked here.
It was his idea.
John! Close!
And this is Alfonso Ripon. Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper.
So I think we do, you know,
the feathers coming out here. Because we felt, you know, you're in Victorian England, you got to deal with Jack the Ripper. I mean, in the script, already talked about it a little bit more. But we thought we were Jack the Ripper, and, you know, one thing was, do you have Jack, you fight him. And then we thought, actually, since he went after women, wouldn't it be funny?
Well, it's a feminist, yeah,
feminist sort of statement. Doesn't get his ass kicked by the woman he shouldn't have messed with.
That's a great reveal of David.
Yeah. And this was all, this is on the set.
You know, Herbert!
Lynn!
Lynn!
There you are. What are you doing?
I'm sure
there's a
serial killer
loose. I'll get it. And here we have, this is the boxes. The boxes idea that they're working for Rathbone is difficult, but
boxes.
It works.
What do they want with us?
They're with me.
So here we try to avoid the idea of foggy streets of London as well, but I think in this scene, we sort of played on the cliche that Jack the Ripper, and that was my one concession to that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think the movie is very bright and looks very cheery. It doesn't fall into the caricature of London, foggy London.
Man, you fight an emperor.
Emperor should never have a spear in life.
I see. You're still my brother's laptop.
And then here's where you sort of get
the plot download.
And it's interesting because this, you know, the idea that you know, they're going to use a machine gun, which was new at the time. It was like 1885. It's called the Maxim gun. It was new to England, but this sort of came out of the Guy Fawkes story, which was
that this, you know, in the 1600s or whatever, this man tried to blow up Parliament in England by putting gunpowder under the House of Commons, and then he was, of course, just found out the day of the event, and he was hung, drawn, and quartered, and, you know, dragged to the streets of London.
Right.
The idea that they were going to, sort of the inspiration for this story was that Rathbone and Wu Chu were going to assassinate the... Wu Chu was going to assassinate the British royal family for Rathbone, and Rathbone was going to give him the seal so he could go and reclaim the throne, and that they could then together control the opium trade.
Yeah,
that's kind of the short summary of the plot.
Right,
as ludicrous as it sounds.
But it was just, you know, and you know, it was using Queen Victoria's jubilee as the backdrop, which did happen in 1887.
That's the one. That's the one fact we wanted to keep true.
Yeah,
it was like. The rest of it we thought we could be more fluid with.
Right.
And we were.
And we were. Again, by, you know, 5 to 10 years. Like, Jack the Ripper was 1887. He could have been working in 1887. This first recorded case, you know, were 1888.
I remember this sequence we wrote, and it took a long time for everyone to understand it was in a warehouse. No one quite got the idea that it was the barge. Remember this?
Yeah.
The barge was in the warehouse. And this is also like a Dickensian idea that there's these, you know, wharf rats, and they're like, London had a huge, like, trade in warehouses and tea and coffee and things. That the Thames was a great way to transport the gun up to Parliament, where the Queen was going to be enjoying her celebrations for her Jubilee.
You knock off 9 royals?
Also, I don't know about it. Queen Victoria had many relations, so the idea of...
Right.
10th in line to the throne was just a fun... This character doesn't exist. He's totally made up.
Yeah.
Where are you taking her?
To make history. I can already see the headlines. Nation mourns as Loony Lynn massacres royal family.
Well, you see, Joe, I mean, this is where you play on Jackie's anger. I mean, for us, when the movie is serious, it's serious. When it's not, but it can turn serious. Once again, something we learned during Lethal Weapon, I think, for us, was just the tonal shifts.
I need your assurance that you will.
The plot's the plot, and the fun's the fun.
Don't concern yourself. My men are scouring the city.
You better pray they find it. Or our agreement is over, and you will never
There's a large ET there for him. But yeah, he gets sense of it's surreal.
Yeah.
John, I got a confession to make.
And this is a fun movie.
You know, where the tied up about to die, you know.
And finally, Roy confesses. I think the audience already knows it's
Roy.
It's Roy, but. Jackie said he doesn't.
Most of it on the Royal Bannon novels. I wrote them.
And one of the things, I think this is a joke we always say that, you know, this is a joke for three people, but the audience necessarily didn't respond. It's like the Mark Twain reference.
It's a joke for, you know, us, Owen, and Tom Glickman. That was it.
I think it gives it a nice, nice feel. We found the music.
Yes.
Nobody else does.
Yeah. And also with these movies, I think, you know, so it's not just moving from point A to point B on a plot. If you want to really give these characters a lot going on in their lives, so it's like he wants a sister, he wants a family, he's writing books, he's a you know, so you just
gigolo,
you always just have so much to sort of talk about and have fun with.
Well, friends to the end, John, and this is the end.
And then this was good. But what they were originally going to do, I think, again, David here was smart, was they were going to use them as target practice for the machine gun. And what David said was, well, that's sort of giving away the fun of the machine gun, which you really wanted to use in the final set piece. So here you just use the machine gun at the end, I think when Jackie dives into the water after Owen. But it was a way to sort of save the bigger reveal of the gun. And then here you have, you know, this is the idea again is Jackie's fighting and Owen's kind of the damsel in distress.
This is a fun. I love this dipping in the water thing. This is great. I think Owen was a really good sport here.
Yeah, very good sport.
To be dipped and
literally just got dunked in a tank, you know. And
I can't imagine that water was very healthy.
Yeah. This is you find is most actors don't like getting wet. And Owen was a very good sport. And this is fun where you just.
As I said, the machine gun actually is just introduced at that time.
Yeah,
an innovation.
Yeah, they had it was like the Gatling gun, which was in the American Civil War, but this is sort of the first machine gun. And then David wanted them to subtitle them talking underwater, which was a very funny idea.
And then there was some controversy. We had initially one scene to cut out. They went into a Chinese laundry and got clothes.
Right.
That's how they arrived. I know Owen was like disturbed about how they got their clothes. But
right. It was a sort of plausible off-screen information.
They stole some off the laundry line. Yeah. Or broke into a shop or something like that.
And then here's fun to play on the Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson idea.
You look ridiculous.
I think we look good.
I really must protest this intrusion. Every 4 feet.
Once again, we're on another set. We're not at Scotland Yard.
We're not at Scotland Yard. And here there was a longer scene about how he wanted to be a writer, and he had written his first novel, which was, you know, Victorian detective who fights for social justice, and the idea that Dickens had ruined it for everybody. You know, it's just the idea that you know, and again, Roy saying, you know, you need, like, you know, a villain and a sidekick and a gimmick, and, you know, sort of teaching him how to become a popular author. But then
the movie's getting too long.
Yeah, the movie's getting too long, and think you want to sort of stay on point here. And then now here he uses his deductive reasoning technique that we saw in Scotland Yard to help them, to lead them to Madame Tussauds. So,
and one cut this was cut out.
One cut this was cut out, and they just got there, and
it was too confusing.
And it was too confusing, and you didn't, you know, really get, already didn't really get a good payoff and didn't really help them solve the case.
And also another version, which they went from Arnie's to actually the rooftops of London, and we saw almost a scene of all the poverty. We saw the kids with the street urchins and the chimney sweep, a big chimney sweep fight on the roof, and then from that they burst through a skylight and they landed in Madame Tussauds.
Right.
Which I miss, actually. I think it's a really good little scene.
Right.
I thought really sketch a sense of
what was
Charlie's plight as an orphan kid in
London.
Victorian London.
Right.
So that was it's a shame to lose that.
It was kind of like in the first film showing the Chinese labor camps with the railroads. At least it gave you some sense of sort of social history at the time.
But this works well.
I mean, it's
a fun riff on the... I remember when Jackie, when we first pitched it to Jackie, Jackie goes,
Wax Museum fight.
Very expensive.
And I think that, again, this was a fight that was initially much more more elaborate. And I think this was actually the last fight they shot. And again, just because you want to keep moving the plot along, at this stage, it got cut down.
Because I think with all these things, you're always looking for actors you haven't seen before. And the idea of Jackie in a Wax Museum for us was like this irresistible.
And it was cool the Madame Tussauds are just open.
Yeah, exactly.
What the?
I mean, a cool thing with Roy.
Yeah, there's a whole thing here with Roy, and that's Jesse James, and he's going, you know, can't believe Jesse James has a statue in the Wax Museum, and he stole everything from Roy, and, you know. You did a riff with Roy, you know, sort of inside his head again, like you did in the first movie, and, but, you know.
Something's gotta give.
Something's gotta go.
This is just classic, like, slapstick. And there's a whole thing with Artie as well, falling to Cleopatra's bust and
all gone. Oh, that's right.
Which isn't neat.
No. So it's one of those things, once you have it in the movie, you realize, you know, in the script, you'd get the note, like, well, what happened to Artie? It just drops out of the scene completely.
Right.
You don't really care.
No.
You don't mind if I take this back, do you? Come on, get out of here.
So I mean, one cut that's just actually mostly cut to pieces.
Right.
It's good length now.
Give me the seal. Give me the seal!
This is where you see, you know, Roy make the sacrifice to, sacrifices the seal to save the, save Charlie. They're in hot water and carted off to jail.
So this is the worst of the worst. This is the end of Act 2 now.
They're being carted off to jail and the bad guys are going to...
They've got the seal.
Got the seal and then they're going to go...
They got Lynn,
they got the seal, and then they're going to go do their plan.
But Jack hasn't left his puzzle box yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to an English prison. With my feathery blonde hair and John's athletic build, he'll try to make us the belle of the ball. Forget it. I'm not going
to... So this is like... Jack is depressed.
At least we'll get a good view of the fireworks from Scotland Yard.
There's a bit of a cheat here that Artie tells them the information.
The fireworks.
But, you
and
know,
then they sort of put it all together. Because, again, these aren't, you know...
Crackling mysteries.
They're not mysteries, and you don't have a lot of time to follow clues. They just sort of need to get information and put things together.
So once again, it's something we left Lethal Weapon. It's like...
Yeah.
No and Danny given the information.
They're actually the worst detectives in the world, because everybody actually comes and tells them everything.
Right.
Here, at least, Jackie and Roy do a little bit of the deductive reasoning themselves. And then here's Charlie coming back to you.
You just lost your way.
Kid, tell me you got a way out.
You know, that was a nice tale for the kid. I know Dave was annoyed at the shocks, the it's going too slowly.
Yeah.
But it looks okay. This is a nice beat with Jet with the kid. And
yeah, sort of pays him off, and you realize his name's Charlie Chaplin.
Which is, I don't think you see coming.
I don't know, but a lot of times, I know the audiences, they were, that was a surprise.
Yeah.
You know. And, though Charlie Chaplin wasn't really born until 1889.
Right.
We're
series like 10. This is the great CG stuff here.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, for us, it's obvious Icon was the Big Ben.
Yeah.
For the finale and the big fight sequence. And here, actually, it was interesting. This is actually virtually a scripted from the original draft, and we always thought this would be cut because it was too big.
Right.
And David fought for it from the beginning. I mean, yeah. All of it. I mean, that's the great thing about David, that he really fought for
it. He fought for the script.
I mean, we'd never believe they would shoot this large sequence on the water. Yeah. It's just, whenever you have water, it's always a nightmare for production.
Right.
So.
And David was like, I mean, I think one of the keys of this film was his extraordinary preparation.
Right.
And he did a really terrific job and really had this all sort of boarded out and knew exactly how he wanted to shoot it. Because the barge stuff was shot in Prague on the river there.
But I mean, I think for us, we were always dreading the idea. Well, I think because we were writing the script, we didn't think it was going to get made. We just wanted to write a good script and for it to all work. Without the barge, you know, at some point they'll say, well, how do we get rid of the barge? It's like, the plot wouldn't work without the barge.
Right.
So it was just a great thing that it all came together and David could shoot it.
Yeah.
The amazing thing about this movie is it came in under budget lower than the first movie.
Yeah.
Which is pretty incredible. And the scope of this film is...
It's much bigger than the first film.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was shot in less days and came in... Yeah, either on the same budget as the first movie or a little less. And who's this actress, Mom?
This is Gemma Jones. It's a big British actress, actually. Very well-known British actress. Yeah.
And we put in a piece later just where she talks to Rathbone because David thought it was important that we, you know, humanize her, at least have her say something and have her see her connection to Rathbone, which I think is just a nice little piece.
So it's a great, I mean, David did a great job here with the CG elements of the House of Parliament and the balcony, which is actually on location in Prague.
Right. Yeah, like this barge stuff, this is all Prague, and then it's CG. And
some fireworks are real and some aren't.
Yeah, some are real and some aren't. I think in the fight you're going to see with Donnie Yen and Jackie, those fireworks are real. And then a lot of this is CG. And then also the idea that, like here, that's in Prague.
As a writer, it's great to see a director respond to the choreography of your action sequences.
Yeah.
Because as a writer, you spend a long
so much time writing them out.
Writing them out and working the details out.
Yeah.
And to see the director actually come through and really...
And really...
Realize that.
Yeah.
It's a real...
It's great.
Rarity as well. It's all about pieces and getting the pieces together for the action sequences. And here it's... Dave did a great job.
Nonsense. You arranged all this. You should have a front row view.
I regret that, respectfully, I must decline. I need to keep a good eye on proceedings.
I think an interesting thing coming up in both these fights, Jackie really, you really feel Jackie is,
vulnerable.
Yeah, which I think is a rare thing for Jackie, and I think it really shows his courage as an actor again. It's the first time I think that you really feel that he could get his ass kicked. And Donnie Yen is a formidable opponent.
Yes.
In the first movie, he had some of that, I think. This is a fun sequence with the machine gun going.
Yeah. That's interesting because this is, again, as scripted, you know, with the machine gun, but then fighting and avoiding the machine gun. And then again, you get to see Lin in action too. So you sort of have all your heroes in action, and Roy and Artie are warning the royal family. They're trying to get into the Houses of Parliament.
Because exactly, it's always too difficult trying to get Roy involved in the action. Want to give him his own task to do, which is to get in and warn everybody.
Right.
There he goes.
This is hopeless, but we're not going to get past the guards.
Well, not with that attitude. We won't. Come on, Artie. There's got to be a way. There's always...
And then we have the pull back to the west.
The west.
The other days, it took 2 hours, remember?
This took about... God, and David would know better, but I think it was like a week or so. I mean, they were on the barge for quite a while. And it's all night. Nice,
right.
Well. It took quite a while.
The thing about the movie as well, Jackie with long hair is really cool.
Yes.
Something about his long hair really makes him feel different.
I think he'd just come from doing the tuxedo. His hair was quite short, so the beginning of the film, it's a wig.
Right.
It's actually worked really well, and Owen's hair was short because he had just come from doing... It wasn't Behind Enemy Lines. It was I Spy, and his hair was short. Now here's...
That's the payback. That's the original guard.
Yeah, that's the guard from outside Buckingham Palace who butted Roy in the balls. So I think Owen had extensions in some of the beginning parts, and Jackie had this wig, which, you know, and then his hair obviously grew.
This is the way you feel Jackie could die.
Right. And I think it's, you know, again, this is where it helps have somebody like Donnie, who, I think, you know, they both really know how to sell these fights.
There comes the dagger.
Here comes the dagger. It's a great way. It's always like, what's the fun way to take out the bad guy? You know, and use what you have. And here, again, what's interesting, though, is you know, Lynn saves Jackie. You know,
right.
Jackie saved her, and then Lynn saves Jackie.
I'm guessing by your hasty retreat, you're still 20th in line for the throne.
10th.
Inspector Doyle, arrest this man. He's got a gun!
It was actually a very elaborate way that they got over from the barge to the House of Parliament, which got cut.
Right.
But, I mean, you don't even think about it.
No.
It's coming, and now it's the two heroes together battling the villain.
For father.
For
old man Wade.
Lucky playing card.
Yes. Cap.
Tell Rathbone to be careful.
Roy, let's go.
And they're off to the tower.
Off to the Big Ben.
And what's always funny is you see the Tower of Big Ben in films, and it looks nothing like that, does it? The interior, you know,
the interior is nothing like
nothing like that at all. I don't even think it's big. I think
also this is much. Yeah, I think the actual set was bigger.
The set was actually bigger than
the real thing.
Than the real thing. It was on the sound stage in Prague, and it was, you know, this way off the ground, and it was really unbelievable.
And here once again, Owen's talking a good game, but actually,
you go this way, I go that way.
Very cowardly. Very cowardly. It just seems like a great place to end the movie.
Yeah.
You know, inside Big Ben.
He's not up here.
Keep going. Keep going. Owen doesn't mind playing, you know, fear, which is good. This is like one of my favorite reaction shots right here, just his eyes. He's completely frightened.
And it's a pretty amazing set.
It's a great set.
And we wanted to get Owen and Rathbone, you know, insulting each other. And
Yeah, to give them some personal, personal. Because in the first film, Owen had a real connection with Van Cleef because Van Cleef was looking for him, and Jackie was really about the Asian guy running the prison camp.
That's right.
That was his bad guy. So here it was like,
and out he goes.
And out he goes. So here it was like how trying to get a little more of a personal connection between Rathbone and Roy.
I think Aiden's really good in this.
Yeah.
This is a really good sword fight.
Yeah.
And David did some great sound work here as well. He wanted to sound like lightsabers.
Yeah, which is great.
And here, I just think Jackie gets his ass kicked.
Yeah. So he's, I mean, you know, it's nice when you believe that he's literally outmatched. I think it just, you root for Jackie even more. And then here's the, you know, sort of classic idea of Owen hanging from the clock tower of Big Ben. You see all the crowds and everyone below him. And we must have written like a million lines of ADR. I mean, it's one of those things you have them out on the clock and you just, in post-production, we just threw, you know, line after line after line in there just to see what would play on the tower.
Not go quietly. You hear that, England? Throw whatever you want at me. Your terrible weather, your perverted killers, your spotted dicks.
That's all. Yeah, all those lines.
All those lines were like, yeah.
It's got a real intensity too.
Yeah. This was the rest one had two swords.
It's good. Yeah, it's tough. Those sequences are always tough to write. The different movements and the different nuances of the action. But here, you know, Jackie really is out man.
One more.
You just feel bad for Jackie.
Yeah. And you know, the villain's now just toying with him, basically.
He's always had that moment where the hero sacrifices himself.
So, yeah.
One more.
I think Jackie's acting is great as well.
It's excellent.
She is like fear and
anger and everything else. And then here again, it's sort of raising the stakes because the thing going into the clock tower, that's going to pay off when they get outside and the hands start to go. So, you know, it's always keeping all of these balls in the air when you're working on these sequences. How
disappointing. Because Jackie thinks that Owen is dead.
Yeah, he thinks he's dead, but then here's where you see him sort of make the decision to
sacrifice himself.
Jackie's just really terrific here. And it's sort of the arrogance of the bad guy is going to be his undoing.
You kill my friend.
You know, he's willing to basically sacrifice himself to take out the bad guy.
Kill my father!
And out they go.
And then, of course, the ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous, you know. Bad guy. And then it's Jackie right, hanging off the clock. Those are what these films is. It's not really sort of how they undo the bad guy, it's how they sort of save each other, and you know, it's. And this is fun. So you sort of, once you've dispelled the bad guy, now it's basically how are they going to get down?
Whoa, easy there, Captain.
Now, of course, the clock's going, you know.
this is the moment, yeah, the audience is one. It's just like,
right,
them together. Making peace with each other. That's great CG stuff.
Yeah, it's really great CG. Here, Jackie and I are making their peace with each other, trying to figure out how they're going to get off the, get off the clock tower.
You mean fall? And for the flat. Ah, shit.
As again, you know, the heroes in the impossible situation, like in the first film when they're outnumbered by the bad guys in the mission, and then they're going to, you know, basically go out guns blazing.
Do a push of Cassidy.
Yeah, do a push
go
in.
Out. The suicide leap.
The suicide leap here, and then they, with the tearing the banner.
And then we always have this bit with them going to the, into the carriage.
And then missing the queen.
Howdy. In recognition of outstanding.
And of course, you know, like,
this is our Star Wars scene.
Their Star Wars scene. You know, coming to England as sort of, you know, outlaws and underdogs and ending up being knighted by the Queen.
Hence the title, Shanghai Knights.
Yes. I don't know what we'll call the next one. It's running out of periods of the day. And then you get the Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
And for steadfast dedication to justice, I dub you Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
He's a great flyback.
He really is.
Arrive.
This is David's total homage to Star Wars here.
You, baby.
And this shot in England as well, for now.
Yes, it was.
There's the seal.
There's the seal. So, and then this is where you sort of get the Sherlock Holmes payoff.
Already, I bet Scotland Yard's dying to get you back now.
My official prime fighting days are over. The Queen has asked me to accompany the Imperial Seal back to China.
What a week. Unbelievable. She couldn't have picked a better man, right, Sean?
Yeah. And the voyage...
That's a nice wrap-up with Audie and this.
...is teaching a new kind of detective, and he's going to solve crimes using deductive reasoning.
Give me a name. What's his name?
Actually, Roy, I was rather hoping to call him Sherlock Holmes. That's what I would do.
I'd be insulted if you didn't use it.
Yeah, for hugging.
See you, Artie.
That's very nice of you, Roy.
Well, I would have kept the name if I thought it was.
I remember the last movie we had a party sequence at the end that got really like truncated.
Really truncated down. Yeah. You know. But then again, now it's like you get the payoff the puzzle box. And then the idea that they open it together.
Yes.
Family is forever, my son.
By the way, I don't think The Rock says that. I think you need like about 4 rocks to say this.
Right. Wow. Wasn't even touching it.
Yeah, something. Yeah. I remember the props person called us and said we can't fit all that on the stone.
Need to cast my own stone, John.
And then it's obviously,
you know,
Wang giving Roy his blessing to go up to his sister.
Yeah.
Hi.
So we do a third movie, we'll have to see if she comes back.
Right.
Told you the House of O'Bannon will prevail.
And this next riff was also we pitched initially to the producers.
Yeah.
And the idea of them going to Hollywood.
The idea of them going to Hollywood. I mean, it was, you know, we're still probably, you know, 15 years away, 15 to 20 years away from this, but it was just the idea that Roy would be on the cusp of that, and also the idea of pitching Wang on the idea of doing action films because you didn't need language barriers and things, and... and then John Wayne movie star, that's what it was.
That's right. Movie star.
And then there's the Charlie Chaplin thing with the mustache looking like the Little Tramp.
We're going to be running and gunning in Hollywood, and just grandpa style. Such a tough
deal. So, you know, the insinuation that Jackie and Owen took Charlie Chaplin to Hollywood.
When you see the...
When you get the final...
I love that. A separate editor actually doing this
cutting the outtake reel.
Outtake reel, which is one of the most important elements of any Jackie Chan movie.
This was good because I think you get a good mix of not only the humor but also Jackie getting hurt. Like he
right.
falls through several things. But I think this is we're reading in Jackie's autobiography that this is a trick he learned from Burt Reynolds.
Reynolds.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds did this in Cannonball Run and thing and. I think Jackie starred in the first Cannonball Run film, and he got this idea from him and started incorporating it into his Asian film.
Maybe on this one I should lick you, you think? Like after you lick me.
Jackie.
Jackie. Thank you. Hi, Owen. Hello, how are you?
Okay, and I'm not Royal Bandit.
Why?
Damn it, John, I think she's the one. I know it's crazy, we just met, but she's the one.
No, Roy, she's my babysitter.
Crazy.
Babies?
What?
It's always hard with Jackie now because his English has gotten so good that he doesn't screw up that many words on it. That one.
What happened? Roy is the type of a friend you never introduce to your other friend or bring him to your family. He's... Look at his eyes, brown, full of shit. Always... Just bullshit all the time.
Yeah, have you ever heard of those? They're parents. Right. We have parents that love us. You don't because you're a little orphan. You know, we've got parents. Yeah, parents. Have you ever heard of those? We've got parents that love us, but you don't because you're a little orphan. Oh, go on. So mean.
John Wayne, movie star.
It could work. It could work. You could do your own stunt.
Well, <it's> not...
So,
these are
the worst.
Fido.
Ouch.
Fido.
Oh. Ow, that hurt.
This one, I
Jesus.
My fault.
Wait a second. This nut is killing your street women? Who did that? Jackie Chan.
Me?
That's right.
That was the
first time.
Sorry.
Hurry up! Are you crazy? I can't do that! This isn't Chinatown! I can't sail through the air! I'm not gonna break my neck!
Roy!
What in our history together makes you think I'm capable of something like that?
Getting bigger?
There's gotta be a better way!
Roy! Jen, Roy!
My eyes are on fire.
So there you go. We've had a great time, you know, doing both films, and we certainly hope to be able to do a third one and sort of take them to the final conclusion. We actually know the last scene of the third movie.
We won't tell you.
Well, we won't tell you. But it would be great to be able to do a third one.
It would be set like 10 years later.
Yeah.
Called Shanghai Dawn.
Shanghai Dawn is what we'd call it. So, and then we were.
It all depends how well this one does.
Yeah, it really does. So, you know, encourage your friends to buy this DVD.